Welcome to School of Prayer again, where we learn how to pray and where we pray. We've been praying now for 30 minutes. Let's take some instruction along the line of overcoming temptation that we have been talking about. Before we start the instruction, let's take our declaration, igniting our spirit to receive insight. Amen?
Amen.
Now, if you know it by heart, can you say an amen?
Amen.
If you don't, please ask for paper. The way you are smiling, it looks like you don't. You do. Why are you smiling like that? All right. Everybody seems to know it, but let's prove it to me. Let me hear the confidence in your voice. Once we let's go now, I declare.
Now I declare
that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It's giving me light and direction. It's healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Please take your seats. All right. I want us to read from Psalm number 66. Psalm 66. There's a principle I want to bring out from here. I just love the way David used it, and it will help us to learn that principle again. But let me just start by saying that let's always learn doctrines in context. What did I say? Let's always learn doctrines in context. I'll give this illustration, all right? One very important example. And that's that when we started learning faith, the kind of faith we learned got to a point. People said to say for better, for worse in a marriage vow is unbelief. So you should never expect worse. So when you say for better, for worse, it means that you are confessing negatively, which is not true. Okay? It is not true. The context in which that was spoken is to show an everlasting, at least this death separates two people, is to show that the covenant will last no matter the circumstances. And as a matter of fact, whether you like it or not, confess positively or not, life has ups and downs. If you have the anointing of Jesus Christ, you will go to the cross. No matter how anointed you are, one day your disciples, all of them will forsake you. But if you are a married person, your wife is not allowed to forsake at that particular point. Peter and Co might leave, but your wife can't go. Your husband can't go. That's the context of that, you know, that declaration. It's not a confession. My life shall be for better and my life should be worse. That's not it. So people will say, I've been there at many weddings. Some will just start confessing. When they say for better, for worse, behind this, start rejecting it. It's not a necessary rejection. It's not faith for you to be rejecting it. Say, for richer, for poorer. Say, I will always be richer. I'll always be richer. I think we don't read the Bible sometimes. We don't. Many of those things we do are so childish in them. I remember one day I was in my office. I was a resident doctor in Luke's that time. So there's this young guy. He also used to go to... We kind of went to the same church at that point in time. Faith Church. Let me not mention the name of the church. So one very senior man was now, because you know, if you know the way residency is, you can be resident with your father, someone who was much older than you. He didn't come for the program early. So there was some particular high-ranking man, military officer, who was just a little my senior in residency, but not in age. You understand? He had children in secondary school. I didn't marry for the next 3 years or so. Okay? Uh-huh. So this young man was speaking. He said something about, he said, I can never be broke. So somebody, what do you mean by that? He said, no, I can never be broke. So I know that the older guy just kept quiet. He's like, there's no need talking to this small boy. Because like, that guy's more far younger than me. He was a house officer. I was a resident. And there's this man, a senior military officer working for residency, older than all of us, hearing one small guy saying that he can never be broke. So I knew he wouldn't listen to any one of them because they were not believers. So he said it twice. I just looked at him, just said, I just told him, I gave him eyes, silent. So he looked at me and kept quiet. He knew I was a faith person, went to the same church. He knew I was telling him, stop talking. So he went silent. Because he was like, bro, see, to say I can never be broke is not faith. You can be broke. Whether you are broke or not, it does not mean God has forsaken you. What should you declare? Say, the Lord will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. Leave it there. Stop arguing that you can. Look, did you read the Bible? When Jesus said, go and fish, you think he was trying to show off? He told them, pay. The offering yesterday was not good. So he checked inside. He said, he wasn't broke. He went to fish because there was no money. Are you getting my point? Let's learn our doctrines in what? In context. That's the point I'm making. Let's understand the spirit behind even declarations that we make. You know why I'm saying this? Some words that have been given to us in scriptures, they look negative, but they must come out of your mouth. Not because you want that to happen to you, but one of the things God does for you is to warn you with the words of your own mouth. You know, people try to read the Bible through and through, and it's good. You should read the Bible through and through. I've never done, start for Genesis, go to Revelation. I'm a scattered reader. You know, remember, scattered reader. So I use Bible plan. I have never successfully followed any reading plan. I think I'm just too scattered. Some say, I've read the Bible cover to cover 7 times, 20 times. I don't know how many times I've read it. To be honest with you, I don't know how many times. Because I have never been able to start from the beginning and go straight to the end. Usually, I pick a book. I read it. You know what I'm saying this? One book, some books I usually find hard. Two guys, Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Now, Jeremiah is the longest book in the Bible, in case you don't know. It's longer than Psalms. You know why I find him hard to finish? I eventually will finish him with a lot of effort. It's because, you know, you just get tired of curse. I will come out and remove your eyes. I will remove your liver. I will puncture your kidney. I said, kill Jeremiah. Easy now. No, go and read Jeremiah and Ezekiel. When those guys are declaring some things that God wants to do, after I went, no, I said, the Lord, is enough. I just close it. Many of the prophets, that's what they do. In fact, to be honest with you, I read through my Bible. Most prophets are prophets of doom. They are always saying bad things. When they finish releasing curses, you look like, excuse me. It's not a good God we are serving here. The one day, actually, I went to pray. Dear Lord, which kind of human beings are these, my brethren? Which kind of spirit do you put upon them? Just by the way, always check. They always have, if you read people like Amos, Habakkuk, all those people, they will speak bad 90% of the times. They will end it with one line of good. Just one line. They always drop hope for the people of God. But they all have given you so many bad things. So that day I went to pray, dear Lord. Then I got understanding. Now, if you have another understanding, you can share with me, I would like it. But what I understood that day was that, to be honest, in summary, God is trying to scare people into right doing. These are the very things. Now, we describe hellfire. You understand my point? Hell. Now, let me summarize. God said, this is hell I'm describing. You don't want to go there. God, listen, he attracts you with good and scares you towards him with a vision of evil. A vision of what is bad. He will give you something to run away from. I don't know whether I get my point. He will give you something to run away from. He told the people of Israel, this is how it's going to be. Now, why I say, take your doctrines in context, and that's where I began from, is that many times I saw Christians decided to run away from every kind of curse. They don't talk about it at all. Except that he has his own job. The duty is to push you away. Don't come this way. It's unfriendly. It's unkind. See, people talk about hellfire, that kind of thing. You know, I've seen people a lot of times. They say, look, first time I gave my life to Christ as a little boy in secondary school, it wasn't because of prosperity. I didn't even feel I was seriously a sinner. What sin do you want to commit? More than disobey your parents and fight your friends at the age of 11. That's when we began giving our lives to Christ. 9. I'm telling you this truth. I went to secondary school very early. All right? 8. 9. 10. By 9 o'clock, 9 years old, I was answering altar call. At the age of 10, I'm sure I'd gone at this twice. Altar call. I said, altar call since I was a... Look. Now they have GS1. By the time I was in form 2, that... We don't they go altar call now. What is it? We had, you know, SU people of those days in our school. Where I'm going is that nobody preached prosperity to me. I didn't feel I was a serious sinner who needed serious forgiveness. Why did I give my life to Christ? This hellfire, I'm not going. That was all. This hell, you won't find me there. I am not taking chances. That's the point I'm making. I am not taking chances. Hell, the one they've described, fire will not go out, worms will not die. Hey, me, I couldn't start. If senior wanted to flog me in secondary school, while I did? I did my homework assignment because I didn't want class teachers flogging. Our English teacher at that time used to flog children very well. That is, I remember his name. Let me not mention his online. His job, and some of the things he taught me, I never forgot. If it's third person singular, you add S to it. If you know the year I'm telling you about, I entered secondary school in 1979. Calculate that. 1980. So, I couldn't stand his skin. I had a friend that time, like when the boarding house, when we were going to class, we wore 4 pairs of shorts. Four. It's not really a point. Good enough. The school, the main school uniform, blue, we had it big, it was big. You know, we're small, small boys. Now they, when they give it to you, it's oversized. So, under it, our games wear will be there. It was second, it's boarding house. So school, church wear, white, is there. Then the house wear, as I was four, we light all of them, put it in school. Because you're going to English class. If you get it wrong, something will learn. So is that kind of person you want to send to hellfire? You get my point? I couldn't even stand flogging. You want to send me to hellfire? He said, give your life to Christ, you won't go to hellfire. Really? Jesus died for the world. That was kind of his problem. My problem was that if that would prevent me from going to this hellfire, I will follow him. And people say, you know, you have to, you know, love God. See, human beings can't love God. Forget that thing. It's only when I've entered into Christ that God now puts love inside them. Initially, something else is pushing them. I realized that, see, all those prophets were describing hell on earth. If you saw what they described, you know, I was listening to David Paulson talking about the Holocaust, the experience of the Jews in the hand of the Nazis. He said there was nothing they experienced that Moses did not warn them about. Some of the things you see, he said Moses warned about it. I read the Bible, everything had been described. When I listened to Bible experience, it got somewhere in the book of Deuteronomy. Moses was speaking. He described what will happen to them when they disobey God and forsake God and go after the Baals, the idols. He said, when your enemies are done with you, that guy narrating had a very wicked voice. He said, the sight you will see will drive you mad. Exactly what people in Nazi camps experienced. It was God that told them, it's the sight you will see will drive you mad. And God was just telling them, this is what I don't want to happen to you. You have to understand, he was desperate, let me use the word, to show good to people. He was desperate. Let them know my goodness. Let them know my love. Let them know the good plan, the eternally good plans I have for them. Let me scare them away from the other end. Jesus said hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, not for people. God said, no, I don't want them to go there. So the prophet should at least, I raise children. Good enough. They're all big now. The idea behind the king, you understand, was don't do something wrong. I'm not a sadist. It's not like I enjoy children crying, have pain inflicted upon them. But don't do this wrong. One day, my son did something. Daddy, no mothers are like that. They have too much softness. They should toughen them a bit. I was going out. My son said he wanted to follow. So I said no. I think it was mother was going out or something. So you know what he did? So after they left, he went dressed up, left the house, and started going. Did you hear what I said? Somebody caught him down the road. That is, we did not know when he left the house. He said, since I can't go with you, I will go by myself. This boy. That is, we didn't know when he left the house. He went and dressed up, wore his shoes, and started going. To where? The person he wanted to follow drove out, so he doesn't know which direction. He had left our street, crossed the road, was on another street, and walking down. When somebody recognized him, arrested him, and brought him back home. You know, like, what? Why did you leave the house? So I brought my cane to teach him a lesson. His mother said, no, I should leave him now. I said, what? That he hasn't done it before. You can add the principle. I said, anytime a child does something, you correct them first. Then when they disobey the correction, you now add this thing. I said, there's no time. This kind of thing, they don't do it twice. I said, this one is too grievous. Did you hear what I said? You don't get the point. The guy must have been like, 3. No. No, not the 10-year-old. Oh, what do you think I was talking about? Okay, that you guys don't understand. He was like 3. I don't think it was up to 4. When he left the house and they caught him down the street, having dressed up. Oh, he didn't get it. He was like 3. If I'm mistaken, 4. I said, no, this cannot repeat itself. So I told his mother, no, I have to flog him. That is, the idea has to leave his mind. Should I tell another one I did one day? About the same age. My wife and I were up, sitting upstairs. Suddenly I heard my car start. Good enough, the car, we had a kind of garage, so parked in the garage. The family lounge was hanging over that garage. You know the kind of car that somebody had turned the key and it's not releasing the key. So we looked at each other. And Randa said, someone little 3-4-year-old boy sitting down there. And as I opened the door, he said, I want to drive. Jesus. How parents survive children, I don't understand. So, do you remember that day? Maybe you don't. You know, you don't even know how to react. Like, first, you pick the key. Inside accurately and turned it correctly at this age. That's why God gave us kings. This will not happen the second time. Affliction shall not arise twice. We are with the humans were like that. When it comes to disobeying God, we can do crazy things. So he paints this picture to scare us into good behavior. Say, if you go this way, this is hellfire. This is what will happen. And because he has said it, it has to happen. Yes. Because he has said, his intention was not for it to happen. But he doesn't want you to go away. He wants to do good. You must understand who God is. I say all the time, please understand the kind of person you are dealing with. He does not enjoy afflicting people. The Bible says it to us clearly. He does not enjoy afflicting the sons of men. But so that he can do good to them, because it cannot be righteous, because God must be righteous. It is not righteousness for him to do good to sinners, those who disobey him. No. What he gives to them is correction. You must be corrected. So he will correct you. That's what he does. You're getting the point I'm making? So, as part of praying, I'm trying to get us to understand something. Then when I read the prophets, I take consolation in that. And I tell you, one man said, there's nothing the Jews experienced that Hitler did not warn them about. Nothing. Nothing that they experienced that Hitler didn't warn about. Now, I said we should read somewhere, right? So I was talking about reading our doctrine in context, all right? Learn our doctrine in context. So speaking negatively, God, you cannot be a better positive speaker than God is. Can you? No. He's the one teaching you the doctrine. So ask yourself, how is he practicing it? When he, so words of warning come out of his mouth. Remember in Israel, he gave them two mountains. One was what? The Mount of Blessing. And one was Mount of Cursing. What was the name of the Mount of Blessing? Eh? Gerizim, thank you. What was the Mount of Cursing? Ebal. Mount Ebal. And why did he give them both? Let's just go there for a moment. Like I said all of this to let us understand Deuteronomy 27. To let us understand the purpose of this seeming negative talk. It is not unbelief for you to say, to warn your soul. That's where I'm going. It's not unbelief. To give caution to your soul is not unbelief. You are not confessing negatively. God didn't tell Israel to confess negatively. He warned them. He was warning them, be aware of the consequences of disobedience. Moses and the elders of Israel charged the people saying, keep all the commandments which I command you today, so that on the day when you cross the Jordan to the land which the Lord your God gives you, that you shall set up for yourselves large stones and coat them with lime. Let me just, so save time. I'm in 27, okay? Deuteronomy 27. In verse 4, it says, so it shall be when you cross the Jordan, you shall set up on Mount Ebal these stones, as I'm commanding you today, and you shall coat them with lime. Now, I'm trying to get to where this thing says. Where he began to put the declaration. Yeah. Okay, let's start from 11. Moses also charged the people on that day, saying, when you cross the Jordan, this shall stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people. Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. For the curse, this shall stand on Mount Ebal, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. The Levites shall then answer and say to all the men of Israel with a loud voice, cursed is the man who makes an idol or a molten image, an abomination to the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and sets it up when nobody will see in secret. And all the people shall answer and say what?
Amen.
Sorry, is that negative talk? It's not negative talk. It's a warning to stay positive. It's a warning to stay in obedience. God was not teaching them negative talk. For them to pronounce, and please, Christianity does not deliver you from the curse of disobedience. Did you get my point? No, it doesn't. People think that, I told you the other day, a man defrauded his own brother, no Christian brother. Are you getting my point? A pastor. And the man told the guy, the brother, said, see, this money you took from me is church money. All right? He actually told him, he said, poor people gather this money. He said, help us buy something. Bro, gazo the money. I don't know, whichever way, the money vanished. He said, please. He said, if it was my money, I will leave it for you. You're my friend. But the way it is, it's not mine. He said, when the consequences start, the guy said, no consequence. I'm not under the law. I'm under grace. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are. He replied. People, they swear to their own heart. And then they change. One guy did it to my wife. She was so upset. And she said something. I can't remember exactly what she said to him. It was not something terrible. Just warning him of consequence of such behavior. You know what he said? I reject it in Jesus' name. Ah. Please, you can't reject what you procured. You cannot reject what you procured. You can't sit down, go online, order something, pay for it, delivery man comes, say, I reject it in Jesus' name. Were you not the one that went to the website? I know the one that clicked, put in your basket, went to checkout, put in your card number, and you clicked pay, and declared. Delivery man comes now, you now say you reject it. Reject what? A lot of people learn nice Christian talk. I reject it in Jesus. How can you reject it? They say, honor your father and your mother. You are cursing your father and your mother. They say, the way you are going, you won't leave. They say, I reject it. How can you reject it in Jesus' name? You can't reject with your words what your actions are claiming. God is righteous. It pains me, a lot of Christians, you know, these days, a lot of us, one of my friends told me something. He mentioned one very prominent man who's doing major move, prayer movement. People are following him. He said, please, I wish this guy would just spend 15 minutes and instruct these people that are following him. It pains him. He said, look at the audience you have. There are hundreds of thousands of people that listen to you. But all you are doing is prophesying and praying for them. He said, just instruct them for 15 minutes. It's not saying change the pattern of your ministry and start doing ministry like his own. No. He said, it was just paining him because he was saying, many people who are needing this, your prayers, their problems came about because of disobedience. You're not teaching them the right thing to do. You are leaving them in prayer. I said, the rest for us here. Prayers, some people are praying. Every power designed to monitor me this year, die. Please, oh. You know, one day one man sent me an email. It's a fraudster, you know, fraud people, fraud. He sent the email from my own email address. Do you get my mind? Maybe, let's say, pastorbanky15@yahoo.com. I got an email from pastorbanky15@yahoo.com. So he told me that Shay, he can see that he has entered into my email. Of course, trust me, I went online to see whether such things are possible. And I saw that it was possible. There's a way they do it. He didn't enter my mail, just lying. But then most people don't know. Now you see where I'm going. He now says, see, he has downloaded all the pornographic pictures in my website, in my listing. He has seen all the websites I'm going to, so that all my secrets are now with him. So I should send Bitcoin to this address so that he won't release it. So you know what I did? I sent him all the Bitcoins that Elon Musk asked. I said, carry it so that you won't leak my secret. Thunder fire you did. I mean, do you get where I'm going? Yeah. Of course, I laughed. I said, you have just proven to me you didn't enter my email. You have just proven it to me. But you know, the Bible says that a sinner flees once a hacker asks for Bitcoin. You see, when no man is pursuing, if indeed I had all those kind of photographs and links and everything, you know, I want to start checking, is it true or false? Do you follow my point? You start, where am I going? Why are you afraid of monitoring spirits? Do you get where I'm going? What are you hiding? What are you hiding? What are you hiding? Why are you saying power designed to monitor me? Hey, monitor me now, follow me to church. Is that not so? For example, now, I was heading for here. If you are monitoring me, you will enter this place. You will hear the gospel. You will change. What's my one? You monitor me. Federal government is monitoring me every day. Do you get my point? In case you don't know, let me just warn all of you. They have your BVN. They have your NIN. They have your phone number. They didn't register that phone number until you commit crime. So one day, I went to the bank. I didn't go to the bank. I was talking to the apostle's wife. You know, she's a banker. So I was like, what is all of this noise? He said, Oga, it's because you don't call me though. He said, this when they introduced BVN that time, he said, if I know the problem BVN has caused, I said, BVN caused problem. He said, how can it cause problem? What she said, he said, sir, it's because you don't do these things. He said, guys that do it, right now, they are sweating. He said, because in one bank, their name is Abdullah Ibrahim. In another bank, they are Kelechi Ndubusi. One, they are Oladayo Tinubu. You get my point? There are all kinds of names. And they will try to do BVM for different ones. Only for CVM to say, this finger belongs to Oladayo. Why is Ndubusi saying it's his own finger again? Now, Wahala take boss to Elder John is scratching his head. Because he too did not know such prayers existed. Do you know, until that day, I didn't know you could have a BVM problem. The only problem I knew with BVM is that, you know, we all make that mistake. Your first name, somewhere, you go and put it as your second, you know. You know, in Nigeria, we don't know which one is first one and second. You know, your name, not name. You get my point, huh? Someone like my wife, I never has a problem because she didn't have many names. My father gave her one name. The second one she has, I'm the one that gave it to her. She didn't have first name. I just have one name. Her name and her father's own. But people like me, they have names. Some people, their name, one name you break into like six parts. Or Babi, or Lauren, Kosi. Where is he? See him over there. So the kind of people, they are in one BVN, first name, second, third name. Now, for that's the only kind of problem I was used to people having with BVN. I didn't know you could have serious problems. That's when she told me that it's because you don't commit crimes. Where I'm going, if you are monitoring me, what's my problem? If they say DSS is monitoring me, am I a terrorist? If they follow me, they'll follow me here. You're getting my logic. You follow me, you follow me to where I'm going. You monitor me online. I'm not checking how they do bomb. If you ever send anything I post online, it's telling you we are ministering by 5 p.m. Join us. And if you click on it, you'll be born again. Those of you who are afraid of powers monitoring you, ask yourself, where am I going? Why am I afraid? My wife knows the key to my phone, to my laptop, to my ATM cards, everything. You know why? There is nothing to hide. In fact, if my phone rings and I pick it and I sneak out of the room, my wife will start rejoicing. He's planning a surprise for me. It has to be a surprise. It has to be a surprise. She won't even pursue me and say, hey, who? Like, where did you go just now? She just looking, hey, when is my birthday? If I bet it like 2 weeks ago, she say, ah, party day, party. She knows something serious is going to happen. What am I saying? You Christians are afraid of people monitoring you. Ask yourself, what are you up to? What are you up to? You want to know the truth? If you are up to no evil, it doesn't matter who's monitoring you. But if you are doing evil, be afraid of. The monitoring spirits, they will go and use the evil you are doing in accusation against you, and you will fall down and die. And you will somersault and scatter. That's the truth. Oh. So let me just warn you, Christian, make sure that you are not like Nathaniel, a person of complete what? Integrity. Then you won't need anybody to monitor. You will call the evil spirits. All of you come. Print bank statement for them. Print your movement chart for them. That's how I'm moving. Next week, I'm going to Kotangora. After that, I will cross over to go and stop the war in Iraq. Where is it? In Iran. Then I will check whether war is still going on in Sudan. Then I will come back to Enugu to continue preaching. So any evil person that wants to follow, I'm going to Iran. No. Just make sure, at your own peril, your own risk, if you follow me to Iran and they bomb you by mistake. Verse 15, he says, verse 16. He says, cursed is he who dishonors his father and mother, and all the people shall say what? Amen. It is not a curse. It's a blessing. Did you hear what I said? What did I say? No, say the full thing I said. What did I say? It's a blessing. Because they've told you the curse is for those who do what? Who dishonor their father and their mother. So simple, what do? You honor your father and mother. In verse 17, what did he say? Cursed is he who moves his neighbor's boundary mark, and all the people shall say, amen. Do you know why they can say amen? It doesn't concern them. They are not planning to move the neighbor's boundary mark. Is that a curse? No, it's a blessing. You know why it's a blessing? He has told you now what brings curses. So when you see boundary mark, leave it like that. Photograph it. Do GPS marking. Tell your children, don't touch it. This is where the time bomb is. Don't activate it. That's a blessing. They've given you a warning. He said, cursed is he who misleads a blind person on the road. Cursed is he who distorts the justice due to an alien, orphan or widow. Cursed is he who lies with his father's wife. Cursed is he who lies with an animal. Cursed is he who lies with his sister. Cursed is he who lies with his mother-in-law. Cursed is he who strikes his neighbor in secret. Cursed is he who accepts a bribe to strike an innocent person. Cursed is he who does not conform to the words of this law by doing them. And all the people shall say what? Amen. Amen. These are not curses, these are blessings. Because now they've told you what to avoid. Is it a curse when they put danger, don't drink? You see a bottle of insecticide? They said not for consumption. Bro, is that a curse? What is it? A blessing. They've told you now what not to drink. They've never put that in a bottle of pure water. Have you ever put on it? I've never seen it on my can of sugar. Don't use it to soak garlic. No, now. You're getting my point? So for the righteous person, these are not curses. These are blessings. These are sound warnings. They've told you now this is where problems come from in life. These are the things you will do and trouble will come into your life. I'm talking about learn your doctrines in context. So see these words, even though they may sound negative, people of God, they are not negative words. They are sound words. They are guides. You know, towards my own part of the time when you're crossing the bridge, going to that premier layout. There's this light they put on the left and the right. You know, that it blinks red at night. Don't they? But at night, because there's a bridge there. Before some of you get too happy and you drive off. And if you know, in those lights, they have a lot of it lining the road, that road going to, is it Udi? From a Four Corner. Yeah, because the road, you know, sharp curves, so they line it. So at night, as you're approaching, you know the boundary. You know the boundaries. So you watch as you are driving. If you go beyond those red lines, now bush, oh, I know that place is very hilly. Not only bush, valley. You go up the cliff, and nobody will know you are there. When it's night, you go, they shall help me. They say it's the terrorist. Nobody will answer you. So they put those red lights there. These are the red lights of spiritual things. These are the red lights. When you see boundary marked, you leave them alone. Why? Because Christ is a man that moves that boundary. In our doctrine, in context, that's the point I was making. So please, to utter these words, you are not speaking against the Spirit of Christ. Because the Spirit of Christ does not shield you from the consequences of disobedience. What Jesus does is to forgive you of past disobedience and gives you power to withstand the temptations for future disobedience. But he never overlooks, nor does he ever bless disobedience. No, he doesn't. Now, back to what we're saying. Overcoming temptation. That's what we've been talking about. I said the other time, if we understand the consequences, that is the importance of walking in sin, if you understand what it means to disobey, we ended last time by emphasizing that is how Satan gets a foothold in people's lives. Don't worry about monitoring spirits. All this one of worship of Satan that we call church, please stop it. Stop going to those places. There's a particular church when my friend was a PFN, is he president, they call them, you are into church politics. Chairman for the state. His country is president, right? He was chairman, PFN chairman for his state. Those guys wanted to get registered, he refused. He said they are not a church. Says, not sure those guys are born again. He refused them registration. Can you imagine? A body of supposed Christians came, want to be registered as members of PFN. He said, you people? Oh, he said, no. I'm not sure you guys are born again. Please, all these Satan worshipping churches, find another church. When you stay up the owner, I told you the person that the Bible talks about the most is who? No, answer me. Who does the Bible talk about the most? God. No, read it. Don't take my word for it. Just randomly open 20 pages of the Bible and count one person that it talks about the most. It's God. So when you go to church and they talk more about anything or any person more than God, you have a problem. You go to church, all my enemies. So you don't even hear God. Enemy, spirits monitoring, what else do they call them? You don't go there, so I don't blame you for not knowing. But you know what I'm saying? All those kind of things, they now say, in the name of Jesus once. Enemy, 10 times. Name of Jesus once. Leave that church. They talk about those who are hindering your progress more than they talk about the Holy Spirit energizing you to fulfill the assignment of God for your life. Leave that church. See, I'm giving you a direct instruction. You see, you will believe me in the next 5 years after you have wasted 5 good years of your life. I realize that you are behind more than when you enter the place. What am I saying? See, these enemies they are afraid of. I say it again and again. Even the arch enemy, Satan, doesn't have the kind of power people pretend like he has. He doesn't have it. He can't kill you. I know he wants to. He can't. He can't make you sick. I know he wants to. He can't. He can't take your money. I know he wants to. He can't. He can't make you lose in life. He can't hold your promotion. There is nothing he can do. Sometimes I get so upset with testimony of then Satan now came. In fact, I like one person who knows those days. They will now withdraw the microphone from you and say, what happened when the Lord came? This is when we go to Winners Chapel. First, I like that one thing about that church. And if you're a pastor, listen, never give anybody testifying your microphone. Hold it for them. No, if you go and check, that's their rule. When you want to testify, one person will hold it for you. When you want to begin to hear no pata, they withdraw the thing and before you distribute nonsense into the body of Christ. They are monitoring you as you are talking. Then the devil now came. The pastor is looking at you. Devil came. Okay. Then the first day, you know, as I was going out, Satan now joined him. The man is looking at you. Then the witch, he just walked with it. He said, my friend, what happened when the Lord came? That's what they do. Say, tell us what happened when the Lord came. That's the testimony. You spend all the time magnifying the work of Satan. And say, you are testifying about the goodness of God. Come on, stop that nonsense. Satan doesn't have the kind of power we think he has. I say it again, this is the only power he has. God gave that one to him. To tempt. To try to deceive. Alright? And that's deception and temptation, they go together. As God really said, you shall not surely die. That's it. Then when you, and that's where he gets his power from, when you have now disagreed with God, agreed with him, and disobeyed God, that's it. You've handed power to the enemy. We talked about it last time. Resist sin because that is how Satan gets power in your life. Understand it, that this is how Satan will get power in my life. Right now, he doesn't have. It's not a nice story. I've used it a number of times, but it's one of the most beautiful stories to illustrate this thing that I've experienced in my life. One day, my wife came home, and a woman had just finished telling her something's going on in her house. Can you believe this? A husband telling the wife that she can commit adultery if she wants. Now, it's worse than that. Actually, was encouraging her. So she thought it was a joke because of the very jealous person that he is. But when the thing wouldn't stop, then she came and reported to my wife. My wife was wondering, what kind of thing is this? She came and told me. I said, oh, he wants to kill her. I just said it to her. I said, he wants to. My wife entered the car and bolted back. My husband said, I should tell you this. I said, no. He wants to kill her. And he has tried. I've told you, if anybody tells you, a Christian, that you will see, he's not telling the truth. He's not a, how do I say this now? He's a fake prophet. There's one guy, not too far from here, about 100 kilometers from here, who's always talking about powers he has not used. The guy doesn't have any power. With all the problems you have powers you have not used. With all the problems, people that come to your church, the only, he said, I am still in this one. Oga, I've been hearing that thing for years. When will you move to the next one? I look at the guy, he says he's a comedian. He doesn't have any power. There are people that really have power. There are. They exist. Such persons will never, ever look at a believer and do this. They know it's dangerous. They just tell you, Nabeg, shift. When you don't shift, they will go another direction. You know what? They know. If anybody comes to me like that and does me like, Pastor, I just never get out. The kind of get out I will tell you is with disdain. I did not know this one that Charles Soludo arrested and dared them to escape from prison. Most of them are fraudsters. They are job men. They don't have power. I've told you again and again. They don't have. But there are people that have. When I talk, sometimes people think that I don't know. I know there are people that have. But such persons, they don't just have power arbitrarily. They have to belong to, listen to this, circuits, all right, groups that understand the negative side of, okay, let me not use the word negative side of whatever. They understand the power of accusation and how to approach the throne of God as accusers. Read your scriptures well. The same sacrifices that God prescribed to Job's friends was exactly what Balaam was offering. There's a reason why. There are techniques to do sacrifices. Not just, just grab one malu, grab one lizard and abikili. No. Each sacrifice makes a statement. There's a way they build the altars. Balaam, see, there's a way you offer a sacrifice, God must listen. He said the order. That's what those people go there to go and learn. And anybody that steps into those realms must learn rules and regulations. And usually, when they have experienced a bit, in this day and age,
when the gospel is everywhere, even before the gospel, they knew there are certain people you don't touch. There are certain persons in the society you don't touch. The angels of God has always been there, following some people about. You touch them, they kill you. And those guys have eyes. They can see. There's a way the Bible describes Balaam. You understand? The one that sees this, who knows? The kind of thing that he had the ability to see. Balaam was real. So he warned Balak. Let me just tell you. I can't say anything God doesn't allow me to say. He warned Balak ahead of time. So as these small boys, the daring Christians. If they dare you as a believer, just let the person get out. Say, I will do something. Say, if you could do, you wouldn't tell me. This one, you are threatening me. You want to use psychology. You want me to lose my rest. Then God will not be angry with me. Because God said to, was it Ezekiel or Jeremiah? He said, if you are afraid of them, I will disgrace you. So there are times that Satan knows, if this guy is afraid, his father will disgrace him. So he tries to scare you. You come to your dream. If you could do something, you wouldn't be scaring my dream. You just dream. You just do it. Remember one mafia film I saw those days? I want the name of the film, like I told you. One guy, it's based on the true story, I think. Is it? I read some books and all that. But this particular guy, he came out of his house. So because things are spoiled for them in the mafia family somewhere in America there. So he knew that he could die all of a sudden. So suddenly, he came, entered his car. Then people drew a gun on him. Hey, you, hey, hey, you, put up your hand. He said, I just knew they were police. They were wearing, mufti. They were not dressed like police people. He said, when I heard all the noise, he said, they are police. He said, if it was mafia, they don't talk to you. You just discover you are dead. He said, all that noise you see is movies. That in real life, the mafia man wants no conversation. His job is kill him. So he doesn't, if you're sleeping, he will shoot you in your sleep. He doesn't have to look at my eyes. I'm the one killing you. What is it? Come on, shoot the guy and go. So is anybody coming to your dream? Wake up in the dream and slap the fellow. Then go back to sleep. When you see all those demonstrations, see, it's your fear. The real people that want to harm you will not demonstrate. If they could, they would. And go away. You just go there, go and give him brain disease. You just go there, open your skull, twist your hippocampal gyrus. Close the brain back. Then you can also be thinking upside down. If he has to show you, we are starting now. Just know that Daboski is not doesn't have anything. Leave that. I hope you're getting my point.
Yes,
there are people that have the power. That's what I'm saying. And those people, they must have knowledge. They must have understanding. And as they approach, because they can see, they approach, they know homes surrounded with chariots of fire. They know it. And you can see the testimony. Satan said it. Have you not surrounded with a hedge round about? Those people that really have the power, they don't bother. It's risky. It's risky. You see, you don't understand. It's risky. Do you know Balaam? Was he able to harm the people of Israel? No, answer me. Was he? But do you know he died for the attempt? Even though he didn't succeed, he died for it. Because he counseled Balak and said to Balak, oh boy, this is how we do this thing. God took that against him and killed him. So, I don't understand why anybody said, if anybody looks you in the face and threatens you, he doesn't have any power, spiritual power. He doesn't have. If he really had, he wouldn't bother threatening. So when Satan wants to gain power, he goes for what? Temptation. He has to persuade you to disobey. He has to persuade you to go against God. He has to persuade you to donate yourself into affliction, usually in the hands of God. He has to sell you a lying doctrine. He has to. He has to tell you something is not what it really is. He has to say to Eve, you surely will not die. Or you will surely not die. He has to. He has to start telling you things. He has to make you start thinking that what God said is not good for you is good for you. It's only that time you will now, with your own 2 feet, walk away from divine protection. And if you choose to go, Baba God cannot stop you if you are insistent on going. So how does Satan get power in our life? It is through iniquity. It is through sin. So we do whatever we want to do to overcome his temptation. That's why we're talking about overcoming temptation. We're talking about it for some time. We have to. Because the temptations don't end. They don't end. I said last time, what we do is pray. It's not our own strength. It's not our own energy. We continue to learn how to pray. It's not our own strength. It's not our own energy. We continue to learn to pray and to exercise what we have learned in prayer. That was how Jesus did. You know what Jesus said? Prayer is the key. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the master key. This is the part I like. Jesus started with prayer and ended with prayer. Prayer is the master key. That thing is very true. It's very true. How did Jesus keep himself pure? Through prayer. It's in the scriptures. And you know what the Bible says about it? Just what I'm describing. He said he was hid in that he feared. And that's what I want to talk about. That is, you see, because he understood the consequences, he was hid. You know what that did? It made him passionate about the prayer. It made him serious about the prayer. It made him passionate. It made him serious. See, when you come to God seriously about a real thing, he will answer you. He will. A lot of people are just praying like this, like this, like this, like this. That lady I was telling you about, I'd like to finish the story. Because I went to the office. I was just repeating that thing to another bro, which I've known him for a long time. He's a Bible student, you know, Jewish scholar, I'll say, but he's a Bible man, disciple. You understand? I'm not here to teach. Pity is not teaching, but I'm not here to teach. No, I was just telling the story. I'd only gone halfway. And that's typical of him. He's very impatient with talk. He said, Banky, that guy is in a cult. He wants to kill that woman. He didn't even let me finish. I said, ha. I said, Oga, exactly what I told my wife. He said, it's basic Christianity now. He said, if I remember, he said, is it today we started learning these things? He just said, he didn't let me finish. I can tell you who was sitting in my office. He just said, I was just telling him this happened. Then I look at what my wife said. This. He just said, Banky, leave that thing. That guy is in a cult. He wants to kill that woman. Why I interrupted and went to that Jesus, I said, the people that wanted to do it for him, they told him it was not doable. They were balanced. Oh, they were balanced. They knew. Say, it's not doable. So the kind of thing you're asking for, this is the only way. She has to do this. Of course, she was resisting him before. But my wife now told her, oh girl, it's your life. Before, it was just righteousness and holiness and right and wrong. But she now told her, this is your life we're talking about. You try this, you die. See, temptations are orchestrated deliberately. You must understand, sometimes, I don't know how, but God lets it happen anyway. Satan will just get an idea into where you are going. Maybe you are the one running your mouth. I'm not saying you should, because if you don't run the mouth, you won't go anywhere. If you run the mouth, Satan will notice. So in the name of Jesus, I'm a child of destiny, I'm a child of purpose. Satan will say, I will manifest. Oh, the fair manifest. You want to manifest? You plan to manifest? He said, yes. He said, boys, he can't manifest. The spirits will say, we've heard him preach twice. So. It'll be like, say, Ororo day in head. Ororo is burning. He said, he has Ororo. He said, go and collect it now. And listen, please, I always drop words for preachers. Preachers, listen. This guy is going around trying to collect your anointing. Satan goes around trying to collect anointing. You know why? He doesn't have much. In fact, he doesn't have the type that you have. And he knows what it can do for him. I keep on saying, see, I give the Lord praise for the job he has given me. I've seen it have effect in people's lives. If it is your staff, I'm teaching to go and sell with the same anointing, I'm saying people should walk in righteousness. Don't you see your business with blue? So assuming Satan is a CEO, why go to be training people? Training your own people. Just go to church. Hire one pastor. The pastor moves into your kingdom.
You give him money. It's not too much. $1 million a month. The guy should be happy. Then the guy starts powerfully preaching for you. So that's what he does. You know, when telecom came in Nigeria, the days of MTN, then Econet, and then Glo came after. You know, they needed marketers and managers. Do you know where they went? There was one industry in Nigeria that spent money and time educating, training its workers. That was where they went to. Who knows? No, not church. Nah, church doesn't train the girls in church. The church just lied down recently. Pharmaceutical companies. Yes. Pharmaceutical companies were number one. See, they took a pharmacist who has spent 5 years in university studying pharmacy. And if you know pharmacy, it's not an easy subject. Pharmacy, you will need to know chemistry, no maths. Apart from the other biological things you need to know. So this guy has come out of school well-educated. They did not enter pharmaceutical companies. Those guys start training them in marketing. They didn't learn marketing in school. They're not trained to sell. They are trained to produce drugs and compound drugs and understand how drugs interact. I mean, I had, of course, many of my classmates. Then, when they train them. In fact, they become experts. One of my friends, my classmate in university, one of our brothers, what he does now is train people going around companies, training. Become experts. They just went there and caught, oh my God, see bleeding. You know they call bleeding? Those guys bled heavily. Collected their stuff. It's by selling paracetamol. How much do you want to make? Know where I'm going? Satan does that too. God put grace on your head. If they preach, people, they respond. Ah, Satan will come. Boy, come. I give you $1 million so every month. All you need to do is just remove the name Jesus. And tell them that what we need is black empowerment. Africa needs to arise. See, you will start speaking on major platforms all over the world. A lot of preachers, you see, that was how it happened to them. And I'll be preaching how money is what you need. It's a minister, now he enters places. He has sold his destiny. He has sold his anointing. He's working for somebody else now. You know that brother died that time? You know the one, you know what I'm saying? You know what he said? I told this was what happened. God just got tired. So, boy, what are you doing? This is not why I gave you this grace. If you use the grace the way it's supposed to, it will say that. I pray you understand. Please, this your life was more directed by money. Because Satan has a lot of it. In practical terms, physical terms, he has more than God has. I qualified it. God is eternally rich, you know that. Except that God doesn't deal money things. Doesn't entice you with money. You serve him, he will handle you. Don't worry about it. But Satan can stack gold for you like this. So boy, see gold. I know you're a pastor, you don't have to say much. Okay, preach on Sunday. After, see me somewhere. We'll go. We'll talk about Africa empowerment. There will be Muslims there. There will be Hindus there. So you understand, you can't be talking this Jesus thing. People will not be following you. You now organize ministers' conference. Small boys will come. And that's what Satan wants. We teach them strategic reasoning, strategic positioning, misleading all of them for $1 million a month. You'll be misleading everybody for $1 million a month. Go and rejoin us, Final Quest. He will tell you that many preachers are working for Satan. Many Christians are working for Satan. But they come to church. But which agenda are they promoting? Satan, let them go to church. After all, that's where they are getting the anointing from. And the gifts and callings of God, they are without repentance. God won't withdraw it. God gives you a gift. See, there are disciplines. I think I'm talking to preachers. There are disciplines you must learn. And it's not as if you don't know the discipline. No? Just that it's expensive. If you don't learn it, you are rich. If you learn it, you are poor. And nobody should follow you because you're a poor pastor. I heard the other day, somebody said that Jesus never visited any poor person in the house. Have you heard that before? And I said, so Peter was very rich as a fisherman because he went to his house and healed the mother-in-law. Just in case you want to believe it, I think we have cleared it now. That's why many people don't listen to these things. Not because they don't know it. It's because of temptation. It's because of temptation. It's because of temptation. What I'm going to say, Satan knows. He knows. That is what he does. But listen, you as a child of God, I'm talking to you. Don't let Satan sway you. He knows he doesn't have the power, so he talks to you. He begs you. So that's why I wrote in my book, Vow of Poverty. Please go and read that book. Go for that chapter, The Vow of Poverty. You know, I said, learn your doctrines in what? In context. Know what we mean by the vow of poverty. Read it. I'm sorry, please. I don't like to get into these controversial things on social media. But don't listen to anybody that says that there's a problem with being a poor pastor. I don't even want you to have that conversation at all. Lazarus at the rich man's gate was better than the rich man. Troubles. He had a better eternal destiny than the rich man. So let's not glorify these things. Well, see, there's no way to deceive ourselves. Paul, that wrote 2/3 of our New Testament, was not rich materially. And you know one major reason why he was not rich materially? He realized it wasn't necessary. Without being rich materially, 2/3 of what we call the Christian canon of scriptures, the New Testament, he wrote it. Didn't build a house, didn't have a large congregation, did not do anything. Any big congregation he built, he walked away from it. The church in Ephesus was teeming, large. Estimation that I had, 20,000 members. He put one small boy in charge and walked away. And told them, I know you won't see my face anymore. This I cry. Please. Rolls Royce is a good car. Lexus, good motor. Fly private jet, good. But it doesn't mean anything. You can be an effective pastor doing the work of God, leading people to righteousness, fulfilling your destiny, and not have one. And it is not true that, you know, if you are in a church, if you are not rich, your members cannot be rich. It's not true. Being rich is an assignment. The amounts of money I hear of, I say, God, you know, you can't give me this. No, I'm telling you the truth. Say, I don't believe. Your problem is that you don't know what you're doing with your life. I know what I'm doing with mine. I say, God, you can't give me this. You can't give me management of $20 billion and I'll have time on Saturdays and Tuesdays to be sitting down here and sharing which gospel. Do you know what it means to manage $20 billion? They are fighting in Iran now. It is Dangote's problem. It is. It's affecting how much it's paying on a daily basis. Crude price went up instantly 20%. As I'm speaking now, I'm sure the man is having meetings. He's making phone calls. Because the largest trading route that carries gas, oil and gas, the Iranians say, don't pass there, we'll bomb you. Who wants to risk it? Can you imagine? Fighting the Middle East is giving a Nigerian billionaire a headache. I mean, all you are doing is reading the news. Say, Donald Trump, you don't come again. No, people think that money is just chop. It's not chop, it's work, it's responsibility. And he gets to a place, I read this today, the man says he's exploring three things, pots, power, and steel. What he has to expand to next. You know why? He has work to do. Pastor Dami, if I'm expanding to pots, power, and steel, there is no possibility that I will preach a sound doctrine to you. See, some people tell you that it's because you don't have faith. Jesus did not have the faith. What do I want to do with it? What do I want to have it for? What Jesus did not have? He said, how are you doing me? A man came to him. Tell my brother to share the inheritance with me. You know the only thing he said? He said, who made me a judge and an arbiter over you? Well, I thought it was sound reasoning to settle family quarrel. He said, it will distract me from our ministry. Somebody sent me here to be settling family disputes. They will kill each other. That's their problem. You think every problem is solved? There are many problems he saw. If you see, Jesus was not a nice person. Many people don't know. He was not nice. He was good. A woman said, he had all the power. A woman came to him and said, please, my daughter is gravely afflicted. And he did not utter a word. Maybe if you don't even have, you'll be begging him, begging her, Bele, don't cry. How's it go? No, you know, Ogadima, things go be better. But you see, people think everybody that she shouted, hey, son of David, have mercy on me. Many of them he ignored. That woman, good example. Just walked away. The woman said, where do you think you're going? The woman followed. After Peter and Co came, said, Baba, I know you don't want to answer, but we can't sleep. We can't rest. She's been shouting. If you won't answer, please send her away now. It's okay, call her. They tried to explain to her. That was because of the intercession of the disciples. Otherwise, he wasn't going to say a word. The woman had to stir up, thank God for the Holy Spirit, had to stir up the faith in her to draw from him. Otherwise, he was not going to answer. One major reason why he couldn't answer was because you can't do too many things in your life. That people send me a lot of messages. Please, sir, this is the problem. What's your counsel? If I start counseling people, I can't counsel people. You get distracted, you will. Even a man who was doing business, God gave him to business. Demon Shakaran, he went into a line of business. God said, no, I didn't give that one to you. You know what he said? It requires too much time. You don't have that time. He didn't say the business was bad. He didn't say it was bad. He said, this one requires too much time. And I have not given you that amount of time. Between your Malu and your congregation is enough. You know they call Malu? Cow. It was a dairy farmer. He said, between dairy farming and this church work you are doing, that's all you have space for. As for grain speculation, commodities, trading commodities, that's like all you pastors that are doing Forex. Eh? I've won all of you. First, you know you are involved in a scam. Nobody makes money trading Forex. You have been one. So when I talk to you, some people sending me, Pastor, you have to say, I don't answer them. Because I know that you, when you touch where their soft confession spot, they don't want to learn. When you have been ruined, you will say, Pastor, won't. They gave congregation to pastor. You are looking for money. It's Forex you are trading. Are you mad? Some people are even indisciplined enough to recruit their members. See, let me tell you, if you do like that, that church will scatter. See, Elder John, guaranteed. It's not guaranteed. Elder John, say guaranteed now. You know, once you agree with me, what I'm saying is true. Guaranteed. Elder John says guaranteed. See, once Elder John says it's guaranteed, it is guaranteed. You come to church, be recruiting your members as downliners in a pyramid scheme. You have no respect for the holy things. Some pastors are so indisciplined, they will be recruiting their members as downliners in pyramid schemes. It's absolute indiscipline. Indiscipline. If you want to mortgage your destiny trading foreign things, go and do it on your own. Do it at night. So that when your members are, pastor, they do like this, guys, being a nervous now, hunger, they will forgive you. But when you have recruited all of them, because all of you will lose money, everybody. Everybody's losing money. Are you getting my point? Every single person. See, woe betide you as a pastor if you start using your pulpit to do training in crypto. You hear what I said? It's only Spirit that said that, not me. You're pursuing things you don't understand. Is that a job they sent you? So one bro one day, how to let, I said, I feel like I said, have you gone mental? You told me we're passing the church. Now you are marketing how to trade crypto. You and your crypto, you know you're all going to zero. Why do you want to bring the church of God down with it? What is wrong with people? Love of money won't let pastors sit straight. Stop marketing things from your pulpit. Say there's one new kind of noodles in town. One of our brothers is doing it. Hey, not on the pulpit too. Network. Let me network. You understand? If they chop noodles and they have running stomach, treat this thing with respect. That man, how will they reach there? How Satan goes around baiting people, trying to buy. He doesn't have power. And I said to you, the temptations don't stop. So resist it as a habit, or resist them as a habit. Make sure you're a temptation resistor. Is it resistor or resistor? Physics is resistor, Abi. Resistor is Christian. Okay. Just keep resisting. You just went to the garden. What they call it? After baptism, the famous three temptations. People think that's all. No. Those temptations followed him every time. I just gave you one as an example now. Come and be a judge and an arbiter. He refused. Come and be king. He refused. Avoid the cross. He refused. These are all temptations. Why do we resist these temptations? That's what we're emphasizing. It is because it is a way by which Satan gets an inroad into our life. That's how we lose our destiny. Satan will always offer things to buy what he doesn't have. Was it Bob, one of those American prophets, who said that Elvis Presley was called by God to be an evangelist? He said, I'm quoting him, that, of course, no, let me say some things that he didn't say, but I understood from the things he said. So all that popularity you saw, all that success, all that worldwide fame, that everybody was following him. He said that's anointing of an evangelist. Think about it. He was not more popular than Billy Graham. So Billy Graham had decided to rap. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what you will have seen. Except that as people are following Billy Graham, they're all going to hellfire. But Billy Graham went the way he went, and everybody followed him to heaven. Do you get what I'm saying? They followed Billy Graham to heaven. So he said, he was called by God to be an evangelist. And he claimed, now this is the interesting part. Shall I say this one? Anyway, he said he gave his life back, he reconciled with the Lord. Yeah, the information they have is that he did. That one of his very close pals told him that, was talking to him, that there's one girl he's pursuing, and the girl is trying to sell religion to him. You know, that was a kind of complaint to his pal. To his shock, Elvis turned to him and said, you better listen to her. The guy was shocked. That, what did he just say? He said, better listen to that girl. She's saving your life. Something like that. That was the last conversation that guy had with him, because the next day he died. What happened was that once the Lord saw that he had come back to repentance, the Lord took him away. I'm telling you what the anointing of an evangelist can do if Satan grabs it. If you use it to Satan, that's what happens. You'll be advancing the kingdom of Satan with the anointing God gave you to advance his own kingdom. Satan goes around trying to recruit people. So we will say, no, you won't recruit me. I won't work for you. Forget it. See, Satan, they pay. In this world, God gave Satan money. When I hear pastors talking money, I laugh. I say, leave that thing. If it is money we are pursuing, better go and work for Satan. The guy, they pay. You know, God's payment system is funny. Walk before me and be perfect before I pay you. You see also? Pay. You say, be perfect. God, they demand account. Occupy it till I come. Come and give account for the 1 minute I gave you. Satan doesn't care. He gives you 1 minute, you waste, he gives you 2. You waste, he gives you 5. As long as you are carrying women, you are smoking the book, you are doing bad things, he will keep paying you. He will pay you enough so you can't repent. Because if he makes you poor, now you start thinking of church. Satan can pay. Just continue doing bad. When you hear some of these are Nigerian musicians, what they earn? People will not come to church. I don't even understand crazy at all. Nonsense. As if we are competing on who makes more money. One day, one guy came to church. I was there. He was trying to encourage young Christian musicians, Christian artists. And I remember what he was saying that day. You know, I wanted to get up and walk out. Sometimes we should be walking out in holiness. I don't know why I sat down. Anyway, but that day I was so angry. But when I got there, recognized, oh, Pastor Bang took me to one nice seat in front, and the guy was in front, confusing the whole church. Confusing the young Christian people who wanted to sing. Say, we should encourage small people, young people like this, we should encourage them. I said, I have come for the program. Is that not the encouragement? You now mentioned one secular musician. If this one puts a table down now, one table, that time, this was like 6 years ago. Say, it's one table, 1 million. People will buy. If it's Christian, they should be, they won't agree to pay 5,000. And I'm looking at him like, are you okay? I preach, it's free online. Why should I give 5,000 to listen to you sing? You think you're more anointed than me? You're more stupid than me, that's all. That means he's sweating all the time. In fact, that makes me laugh. He will not cut one thing that he said and put on his status. I said, they are not going to pay you. Forget this thing. Nothing. They don't give my shishi. That time somebody sent him small offering. He said, praise God. I see you. After sweating for 2.5 hours. Is it the kind of person that should encourage somebody who's singing? My friend, go and sit down. I pray. I'm more anointed than you. What kind of nonsense is this? We should encourage them. I said, see, okay? The only encouragement I'll give you is before I preach, I give you 15 minutes to minister. That's the encouragement I have for young people like you. And you should thank me with 2 hands. Sir, what a privilege. What an opportunity. I didn't know, what did I do to be worthy of using your platform to talk to people of God? Ain't giving you shishi. Because nobody gave me shishi.
And we shall do the no shishi thing for a long time. Jesus doesn't pay. Forget all these doctors we preaching these days. Jesus doesn't pay money like that. Though. What he will say, when I sent you out without any money, did you lack anything? He said, and you can say it. You are not even ashamed that you sent us out. Nothing. Even as Satan sent in people out now, we know how much he will give them. He came was bragging. I sent you. Did you lack anything? Is there any house? Eat what they said before you. Oh God, the house I went, it was yam in the morning, yam in the evening, yam at night. Was it manna from heaven? He says, stay in the house of somebody who's worthy. He says, eat whatever they give you. I can't order my own buffet. He said, whatever they give you, eat it. I don't know. They said, did you lack anything? Eh? Even if I lack, I go tell you. Yeah, they will be keeping quiet. Don't worry. My name is Demas. I go soon. Come on, leave your guy, Paul. No, brethren, let's understand the Jesus we are following. It doesn't. So these days, I see doctrines making it look like if you know how to follow him, it did pay. No. Forget that nonsense. If you are looking for who will pay, go and walk, follow Satan. His pay package is good. Like I told you humorously last time, Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. I say, oh God, now because no, they pay. In Nigeria of today, go and, Jesus, let's tell the Lord. Maybe he doesn't know what's going on in Nigeria. He tell the Lord, Lord, please, advertise this job for 5 million naira a month. You could know whether the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. That way, we will flood the harvest field. Nobody will give their life to Christ because our spirit is wrong. We will not carry the anointing. Heal the sick. We can't heal anything. We'll just be giving them money. We'll give them free food. We'll rub their backs. They will not give their lives to Christ. We don't care. Why? You're paying. Please, if you want to serve the Lord, that's the point I'm making. Serve him. That guy was in, he said, if you don't encourage them, they will sing free me. Apparently, there was one popular secular musician who had the track called Free Me. Said she was so saying free me. That day I was so angry, I almost walked out of the church. I thought the person in front of me. I said, what nonsense does this guy say? I said, we should free you. I will right now carry scissors, cut you free. Go. Go to hell if you want. If you want to serve the Lord, you carry your cross daily. Serving Jesus, you carry your cross daily, on a daily basis. You know what cross is? It's a place of death. You kill your ambition. They will have told you. Do you know? Go and read Ken Hagin's book, Triumphant Church. He told a story on how to handle demons inside that book. And in it, the vision of the Lord Jesus gave him a vision. And in that vision, he saw a lady. He said, very beautiful. And was singing well. This kind of people that when they sing, you will not say, man, anointing day. Then Satan came to her and said, you know you are very beautiful. He said, mm-hmm. He said, you know, if not for church, the whole world will know about you. So just stay here. Just a waste. Do you know, first time, no, please go and read the book. I don't have time to tell you the story. First time the lady listened, rebuked the devil went away. That guy is a tenacious bastard. He doesn't go away. You have to resist him every day. After a while, he came back again. Madam, we were talking last time. Bless you, the vex. No need to vex. Now, I want to add my own Korean pepper to this thing. He said, see this girl, Gumashan one. Okay, see Thames. What's the name of this crazy girl that came from London to come and be doing iniquity in Nigeria? You know. Yeah, let me not mention her, but you heard, yes. He said, look at her now. Look at how much she's making. And guys, those people can make money. Even our sister the other day, when they were fighting, see, the last time me and Okemute fought, it was over 10,000 naira. When me and Dami quarreled, it was 5K. This guy, they quarreled over almost 400,000 US dollars. Oh, our 10K on a naira. If I tell Dami now, I say, take money, go buy fuel. He said, God bless you, Pastor. I want to thank you for the opportunity and the privilege. This money is not necessary. 5K. This girl was fighting over 400,000 US dollars almost. I said, Dami, and you are still preaching kingdom. Some of these boys,
One night, play. $500,000. Not two nights. And listen to the song. Nothing's inside. $500,000 for that? And they will remove shirt. They are not even well-dressed. You carry it away. I just a vex. That's what Satan did. Did they pay? I'm telling you. This was what they told this girl. After a while, she began to listen. I am beautiful. I'm anointed. I can sing. Just because I married this church pastor, a poor pastor who the Nigeria they say we shouldn't follow. What is it? You know what she did? She divorced the husband. Free me. And she joined the world and started playing in clubs. And of course, started making it. Satan said, did I not tell you? That church was restrictive. Let's make a long story short. The spirit left her. It left outside, jumped inside, took charge of her life. In a short while, she had married like four husbands. In a short while. And Jesus said in that, please go and read it. Triumphant Church. Jesus said in that vision, say, even at that time, don't worry, I would have taken her back if she had come back. At that time, the spirit now started using her to harass her pastor husband, the first husband she had. So the Lord told this prophet, I want you to stop that oppression. So what do I need to do? It's simple. Tell the devil to stop. It was a spirit using her. So he sat where he was and commanded that spirit to desist. So the spirit had to stop because it had been commanded by the prophet of God who saw it in the vision to stop all his harassment oppression. So he stopped. What about the woman? The Lord said, she's not a child of mine. She's misbehaving. I'll take her back. All she needs to do is repent. Then one day, she walks into the church where she used to attend. So all of you think I'm coming back. I want nothing to do with your Jesus. And Jesus said that was the day it was finalized. She said she can't come back now. It's too late. And it's in the scriptures like that. She was once enlightened. She tasted of the powers of the ages to come. She tasted of the good word of God. Then she consciously turned back. And Jesus said, now, and not taking her back again. That the only thing that remains now is eternal damnation. Literal lake of fire. That's where she's going. I keep on telling pastors who make it, look, see, don't go to a church where your pastor preaches as if what you need is what ends on this earth. I keep saying it. For goodness sake, Lazarus, beggar, sores. But at least he had eternal destiny in the bosom of Abraham and in the kingdom of God after that. And I've heard preachers again and again, please, if you're a preacher, stop that rubbish. Please, I beg you in the name of the Lord, stop it. He was lying down there because he did not know his rights. You must understand, take your doctrines in context. Jesus was not talking about what it takes to be rich or to be healed. He was talking about the value of eternal things. Leave it there. No, God was showing me that if he had known his right, he won't be at Abraham's, he won't be at the rich man's gate. It's true. Then he would not have made it into that parable. There were many that knew it. And Jesus said, there's nothing to use them to explain to anybody. So he went over them. So I'm not saying it's bad. But when he stopped there, there was something he was saying. Know how to value eternal things. If I give you the opportunity, do you want to be the rich man or the poor Lazarus with sores and the dogs coming to harass you at his gate? Which one will you be? Many Christians will want to be Lazarus with the rich man because they won't have a congregation if they are not rich. And you will soon discover this world. Sometimes I look at my life, and let me not talk about it. I'm talking about my age, nothing serious. You know, when I was young, I thought I would live forever. And I suddenly realized that classifying human beings now, I'm no longer called young, I'm now middle-aged. The day I discovered I was middle-aged, I was heartbroken. Thank God for the hope of resurrection, otherwise I've been sad permanently. I've been young for so long that I'm used to being young. Then one day I read, you know, say I'll be a doctor. I come say, oh boy, leave that young thing. In fact, now Kimuti and Co first start them. I saw where they were gathered, and they were gathering young pastors, and I was not invited. I look all of them and say, okay. And I know those who are not with me. So I am not young again. I went home. I read the medical book. Say, no, you are middle aged though. And I realized that very soon, they will even put me on the elderly, senior citizens. That's how they deceive people. You are old. One day, I looked at my children, you know, kind their back. They move like this, they go. I say, eh? And would they discuss? Do you know, if we're not married, we'll be chasing the same women. And these are my children. I knew my life was over. Ah! I looked at their mother. I took consolation. At least this one is my own. Because I knew these boys, one by one, they are going to say, bye-bye to Jati, Jati. They are going to park. Is now where daddy, can I go out with your car? Eh? That was the I realized that I'm not young anymore. Which means this life is so short. Yes, I'm not even lived very long. They say I'm already middle-aged. And those of you who think you are young, you are laughing at me. The young people shall laugh at you. Say amen for them. Amen. Yes, very soon. You will be healthy, you will be well, and you will be middle-aged. You will be strong, though, but then you will be 80. And your children will tell you, say, daddy, please, do you want to go out? Because we want to take the cars out. And you'll be looking at them like this. Say, daddy, we'll tell you, stop going out at night. Eep. You are telling me not to go out at night. Because now they're not the one worrying when you don't come back on time. Can you drive in the dark? Your hometown is coming. That's what I'm making. So this life is not a long one. That's what I'm making. It's not long. It's not long. I'd rather be poor, be a Lazarus at the rich man's table, just knowing that at least one day I am going to Abraham's bosom. Rather than to be rich for this short time in this life and spend eternity crying. No, now. This generation will have elevated wealth to a place where it does not belong. Learn to disdain it. I know we have glorified it, but begin to learn to disdain it again. They sent Paul a lot of money. He said, what is it? Before you sent it, I was happy. You sent it, I am happy. So what has it done? For me, nothing. But you are activating blessings in your life because of your concern for the man of God and the ministry that God gave to him. Say you'll be blessed. Say, as for me, don't worry about me. Let's keep money where it belongs. So let it, because it's one of the few things Satan has to be driving us up and down. It is. It's one of the few things he has to be driving past us up and down. You choose where you want to, you know, men of God, they do it all. You invite somebody now, come and preach for me. Say, okay, I'll be there. Say, okay, 15th of June. On the 7th of June, one big pastor in Port Harcourt invites me. Ah, Reverend, our special convention is coming up. Oh, I'm so sorry we're reaching you late. I'm so sorry we're reaching you late. But you've been on my heart. You're the one that God wants to come. The guy who told you 6 months ago in Enugu, his church has 75 members. That other guy. 75 members of which you know. Half of them are what in economics we call a dependent population. You know what they call dependent population? Those people that will call, daddy, please, have you sent the money? Half of them. But this other guy, 75% of them have Dangote's number. Even if not, they are his customers. Oh boy. And they are plenty. They are like 1,000. So how do you want to come? Do you send the rosary to come and carry you? Or you want to fly to Lagos and then fly to Port Harcourt? No, anyone you like, man of God. We'll send you with an escort. Ah! You forget that if you want to enter the mountain of God, you swear to your own heart. You can't change you. But you won't say he has another invitation. Lie. And I call that man of God. Ah, I'm so sorry. You know, this man, I can't say no to him. He's a mentor in ministry. He's an elder. He's a lie. It's money you are looking for. Let me just tell you now, in case you don't know. Tell him flat, Oga, I would love to come to that your church. He said, fine. If your pulpit alone is fine. But I can't come. Why? Brother Larry said I should be his special guest at his own anniversary. It's the same weekend. I'm so sorry. Tell him like that. Apologize to him. Say, maybe next year. Well, if you let me have the date on time, so I will lock it down for you. Just know something. God is testing you. All this is an arrangement to check where your heart is. Now you are preaching for money. You are preaching for the kingdom. Well, let's get back to our teaching for the day, Joe. How to resist temptation. But listen, I've emphasized that it must be resisted. What did I say? It must be resisted. Temptation must be resisted. That's how we disarm the devil. And I said, learn your doctrine in context. You know, I said we should read something at the beginning. Psalm what? Psalm number 66. So open to it then. Psalm 66. I'll read just a few verses to bring out the principle of prayer. You know, it's our school of prayer. So, I need to emphasize that, see, prayer must be a habit. Prayer must be what?
A habit.
A habit. Now, there are some other habits which I call them prayer-like habits. I used to call them prayer, but I said prayer must be directed toward God. So, for that reason, I call these things, I withdrew the word prayer for them. I call them prayer-like habit. For example, some of them, I call them accessories to prayer. For example, I used to say, our conversation is a form of prayer. But I said, no. Yes, it's very similar, but it's our conversation. It matters. God hears it. So, in that reason, it's a kind of prayer, it's a prayer-like habit. All right, even though you're not talking to God, but he listens. So that's why I call conversation a kind of prayer. All right? So it's a kind of prayer. Very similar to prayer. You're talking to somebody, the Lord is hearing it. So that's why I make it a kind of prayer thing. So you be careful with your conversations. How often should somebody pray? Always. There's something I said the other time. You should spend more time hearing from God and talking to him. Please, I need to clarify something. That does not include thanksgiving and praise. I'm talking about making requests. That you should spend more time listening to God than making requests of him. That's what I meant to say. Not because if you include thanksgiving and praise, then you can pray without ceasing. All right? You can pray without ceasing. Praising God and worshiping him is not included in that calculation I mentioned the other time. And I still mean it. If you remove praise and thanksgiving, then you should spend more time hearing from God than telling him things, making requests. Christians like to go and, you know, make requests and ask and intercede. Let God do more talking than you are doing, okay? You should be listening more. But you see, you must have habits in your life that are like prayer, and they must be continuous. So Jesus said, men ought always to pray, okay? And one of them is this meditation thing we've been talking about. He said in that book of Malachi, in chapter 3, he said, your words have been arrogant against me. He said, how have our words been arrogant against you? God said, you've been saying that the unrighteous, they are blessed. That people tempt God and they get away with it. He said, so we say, what profit is it that we have served God? After all, they don't pray in Japan. The country is developed. After all, the rich people, they don't pray. They send their children to good schools and they plan their destiny. And look at how rich they become. The Bible calls them arrogant words against the Lord. I keep on saying it never gets included in such nonsense talk. In Nigeria, we like to pray. A few years ago, some people were mocking Nigeria at the Olympics. They wrote a cartoon. First, number of medals were not there. Second, the number of medals were not there. Third, we're not the usually such in America with top one, this and all of that. China, they take the top three, those guys. So now made a joke. Say, for the closing prayer, let's call Nigeria. It's a good thing. What did I say? Because when Jesus comes, all your medals will melt away. Yeah. Even if they give you pure gold, it will still perish. But those who fear the Lord, they will endure forever. I hope you're getting my point. So if you don't get any medal, at the end they say, come and pray. At least they know that literally, we're not joking, religion is not the opium of the masses. It's only an idiot of a man that will say that. But if you know the Lord, you are secure for eternity. Enoch walked with God until God took him. There's a taking that's coming one day. Make sure you make it. If you are too heavy with material, worldly focus, worldly possessions, you won't make it. You'll be too heavy for the Lord to take. Fact. You have to live light on this earth. You have to live light. You live light. What do I mean? Your focus should be on eternal things, not temporary things. It is possible. Don't forget. The church in Sardis, is it Sardis or Smyrna? And then the church in Laodicea. One said we're rich. Laodicean church was very rich. Jesus said they are not only poor, they are miserable. They are blind. They are naked. They don't have money. Yet the one that thought he was poor, Jesus said, you are rich. It's such a pity that these pastors are elevating money too much. They are elevating money too much. If a rich man comes to church, we'll put him in front. Something that the Bible forbids expressly. The Bible forbids it expressly. If I'm pastor of a congregation, you walk in, you're very rich, that's your problem. You sit where you deserve to sit. The only thing I might respect a bit is your age. If you are elderly and you're rich or poor, makes no difference. Okay, show that elderly man respect. If you're a ruler of the peoples, yes. If the governor comes to church, we'll treat him as a governor, not as a rich person. The Bible gives honor to the ruler of the people. The Bible does. But wealth, lie. I don't care how rich you are. You're not rich in this congregation. People don't like it, but it's fact. They think I'm just joking. I'm not kidding about it. Let me mention some of these men because they are a bit elderly. Some of these very well-to-do young people come to King Norwood. You will sit as you came. If my usher tells you to move, you don't move. I will warn you seriously. I'm not kidding. Don't come back. I really don't care. I told you that time. People's numbers are blocked. Some people, because they are rich, and you have my number, maybe one way you got it. I just block your number. Because if I don't block it now, you start influencing me. If you want to give me money, it has to be honor. You have to thank me for accepting your offering. One day somebody called. Later I found a very well-to-do family. Very well. You know what they say, well-to-do? Very well-to-do. He called. Did you know the kind of human being that Reverend Yinka is? He thought he was a normal person. He didn't know that the guy gets coy. Say, he heard us on radio. And Yinka said, thank God for that. He wants to sponsor us on another radio station. And Yinka said, that's very good. He said, send somebody to my office. And Yinka said, lie. Don't send anybody to your office. Say, I'm not sending anybody to your office. The guy was surprised. In fact, Reverend didn't even know who it was. You know what he said to him? In fact, he said, my brother, we preach the gospel everywhere. How many offices do you think we will go to? The guy felt so insulted. Later on, and I found out it was. One brother told me, he said, good for him. He said, because the way he, his father, their family are treated, every church they go, they are held in high honor. He called Reverend Yinka. Yinka said, my brother, see, if you want to send money, I'll send the account number. Don't trouble my soul. The guy said, you didn't have to insult me. He said, sorry, it's not an insult, but you're telling me to come to your office because you want to give us money. For what? No, the guy wrote. He said, please, you didn't have to insult me. Yinka said, I'm not insulting you. I'm just explaining to you, we can't come to your office. As of today, I can't count the number of radio stations that people take upon themselves to pay. We're not the one. Some of them, they pay the radio stations directly. One or two, they just say, okay, can we send you the money? Because we can't pay in bulk. We're giving the money to you small. And when they see me, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. One day I went to Port Harcourt. Yinka just one of those guys. He said, pastors, I'm pastors around. The guy said, is that so? He ran away. And he said, I don't want to see pastor. It's not necessary. He's doing his work, I'm doing my own. And only him is paying for one radio station. Pastors, learn it. You won't die. It's true. You won't die. The person I'm telling you about, I'm just offended. What in the world is this person say? Same message, I just blocked the number. Because if I don't block this number, I would think I need to know a rich person. I don't know you. The fellow wondered that. My message to this guy is not going again. It can't go. I blocked the number. Me and you are not facing the same direction in life. I'm not superior to you. Just, if they go east, I they go west. Don't take your regal, spoil my blues. You are jamming. Mwanga, mwanga. Me, I'm singing. Oh. It can't work now.
The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Have I read devotion? Psalm 66. Okay, I was saying something. So please, brethren, don't let your words be arrogant against the Lord. That's what I was making. How are your words arrogant against him? So you don't have to be a Christian to be rich. We didn't come to church to be rich. We came to church to know Jesus Christ. We came to church to know the Father. We came to church to participate in the resurrection of the saints. There will be a resurrection. One day this earth will pass away. You will see your loved ones again if they believed. And you will recognize them. And you know what? The separation on this earth will look so temporary. You will look at, why was I even crying that time when you died? So you look at you now. And you're looking so handsome. You're looking so beautiful. From what we have been told, everybody will look like 30-something. The peak of their, you know, natural pulchritude, you know, looking beautiful. You look at them and say, my God. No pimple. Literally no pimple. All those scars and injuries from war and all of that, amputations, they will disappear. Fact. And it's going to happen one day. It's not just fairy tale. It's not folk tale. It's not just what deceiving us. It's going to happen one day. It will happen. When Jesus rose from the dead, disciples looked and said, Master. And you know, let's not start talking about resurrection, babe, before I get carried away. And you know the funny thing, it's closer than you think. That's why I told the story. You know, the other day when I was born, you know, I was born recently, in my opinion. Then they say I'm middle-aged. What does that tell you? Very soon, when they look the other side, it's close. When I enter university, those days, you know, first year, I studied medicine, so 6 years. So my friends say, oh boy, you go old for a year. The guy saying it, he studied microbiology. He was going to spend 4 years in school. And he was feeling sorry for those of us who spent 6 years. And you want to know the truth? As of today, I left that school almost 35 years ago. End of this year, third quarter of this year, or last quarter of this year, it will be 35 years. It's like, last year, I went for my class reunion, 34th. I said, okay, 6 years before that, we thought, hey, this school, why did I sign up for this course 6 years? Sometimes I look at people, I said, oh, where are you from? You're from the West. I said, yes. How long have you been in Enugu? I look like, I've been in Enugu longer than you, Igbo man. I've been in Enugu for longer than you. Don't leave that. I'm more Igbo than you. You Lagosian. You are talking. You spend most of your time in Lagos. I've lived in Enugu continuously since the year 2000. But I still remember the day I arrived. I still remember the day my wife came, 2 weeks after I arrived. I went to go and look for her at the luxury bus station there. And she had taken a bike to go somewhere. Let's go and look for me. So I just saw one fine young girl on the bike. Say, hello, hello, hello. Hello. Oh, that's my wife. Come on. How dare you come to Enugu without your wife? And likely, that's the year 2000. You look like yesterday. I'm in 2026 now. What am I trying to say? Resurrection is closer than you realize. It's not so far away. You should be preparing for it. Paul said, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Derek Prince said, you don't walk into the resurrection living recklessly. You walk into resurrection on purpose, making up your mind that you will do whatever it takes to please the Lord. Nobody will be preaching one nonsense doctrine to you that even if you deny Jesus Christ, you are still saved. Come on, you are still saved in hell. Can you deny Jesus Christ? You're still saved. He looks like an idiot to you. He said, if you deny me, I will deny you. Is that not what he said? Yes. What are you talking about? So he said, if you're ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you before my Father and his holy angels. In scripture, let me invent them. So we work hard to resist every distraction. We don't care what the people in the world are looking for. Recently, Elon Musk told us what the Bible told us long ago. He said, those who say money cannot buy happiness, apparently they know what they were saying. You know, it's so fun. This life is such a crazy place. Some people pack their family and say, I'm going to spend this holiday in Dubai. They landed in Dubai. America invaded Iran. Now they are stuck. They can't come home. No plane is flying in that place. For your own safety, people are now sheltered in space, in place. I was just thinking, I said, God, thank you I didn't go to Dubai.
this period because I did Enugu. There's no fly zone over Enugu. This world is a crazy place. Some people just say, let me just go and relax. Elder John, there are pastors that won't come to church for the next few weeks because they went to stretch out in Dubai. I know if I've been rich or poor, and if you are now poor, where will you now stay? The hotel will not. Some people, God has been telling them, stay in your house. He said, no, my mates went to Dubai. God said, I know what I'm telling you. Stay in your house. No, me too, I must go to Dubai. My wife has been saying, we should go. Okay, don't take the children. So, okay, let them go and stay with their grandmother. God said, at least I won that one. That one I won. They listened. Take the little money you have. Phew! You go holiday. As you land, America bomb Iran. Dubai shot the airspace. Say, you know, you went and rented a hotel $100 a night. And you're not too rich. Before you were afflicted, you went astray. You see, if you want to come back, beg God. I know, God can work wonders. Then I say, let's go for holiday. Say, I go to Calabar. Oh, the Lord is good. This world is a crazy place. Honestly, this world is a crazy place. Let me just read this place. I'm watching my time. I didn't even know that me has spoken for this long. That me can talk. Psalm what? 66, yes. Let's just read just a few lines. I'll just read. And I'll explain the principle. Maybe we'll develop further next time. I already started talking about it in our conversations. One of the ways we pray to overcome temptation is what David did in Psalm 66. There's something David did. I just want to bring it out. Just to show a principle. Let me read from where I'm going is verse 18. Let me just take it in context. He said, come and hear, verse 16. Come and hear, all who fear God, and I will tell you of what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and he was extolled by my tongue. In verse 18, which is the main reason why we're reading this, David said, if I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But certainly God has heard. He has given heed to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor his loving kindness from me. One of the things we find out with David is that he used to speak to himself and he encouraged us to do the same thing. You hear him say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. David will encourage us, speak to your soul. He will say, my soul, why are you downcast? Put your hope in God. And he's talking to himself. Are you getting my point? Yes. He said, why are you downcast with my soul? It's as if he comes out and tells the soul, so what are you doing? Put your hope in God. The same way he turns and said, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Why are you standing there? All that is within me, bless his holy name. He's giving instruction. Those that fear the Lord spoke often one to another. One of the things they say, that's what I'm talking about. The people who are arrogant against God. They don't pray in Japan. Look at how developed they are. They don't pray in China. They work on Sundays. We don't work on Sundays. We go to church. These are arrogant words against the Lord. We must never utter them. They are words against the Lord. God will wipe out your name from his book of remembrance. Because the day is coming, he says, that shall burn like an oven. And every evil doer will be chaff. But unto you that fear my name, will the Son of Righteousness arise, he says, with healing his wings. Be careful what you say in the time of peace. Because the time of affliction, the time of adversity is coming. Many people have spoken against the Lord. They've disdained spiritual things. God said, the time of their trouble, I'll make them bite their fingers. Telling you. I'll listen to Sadhu this morning. But describing one particular man. He gave a prophetic word. Then the man came after he had left, opposed the word. So next day he came. He saw everybody had disobeyed him. The man said, it's Indian culture. They should forget that thing. He didn't say anything. So when it was time to minister, the Holy Spirit did not come. So he just ministered basically and left. Said the same man came to him for prayer after. And God said, tell him I will never answer him. Yeah. And he told the man, the Lord said, he won't answer you. And he shocked him in that situation. Said, I will never answer him. The Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous his thoughts. He said, call upon him while he is near. Let people stop talking nonsense in this country. who is talking about like, did they pray in Korea? God said, so? You pray or you will die. Jesus can't say something. People don't even fear God, though. Jesus will say something. You oppose it. Which mouth do you have? That is your mouth. Somebody should break it for me. Nonsense. Jesus said men ought always to pray. So all we can do in Nigeria is pray. Father God, we thank you that we are praying. Were it not for the Lord, we would have been overrun by all these bandits. You think it's a joke that they are stopping? There are some things that God looked at. And God looked and said, this is a problem in your country. Arise and pray. And the men arose and began to prophesy. And they moved around. And God said, good. And he took his weapon of war and uprooted the people from their roots. I just thought about it now. Right now, they are protesting here and there. That if they were not uprooted that time, uncle, these same people said before, when they will have parades, my friends around there, they'll tell you, 3 million people will gather. They will line the streets from one major northern city to another one, all wearing black. And God said, pray, let me uproot them. You think you are still intact by chance? Don't worry about the bandits. Don't worry about the kidnappers. Their time is coming. The Bible says in the time of their punishment, they will perish. It's the word of God. And it's coming. Go and look at the Assyrians. They were big and mighty. God said, I've determined the day of their judgment. But don't stop praying. Let me just read this and I close. No, I've read it, right? Psalm 66. Yes. Notice what David said there. He said, if I regard iniquity, wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. He was instructing his soul. And one of the things about prayer is those conversations you have. You know, it began by saying Mount Ebal. You must have a Mount Ebal experience every day. I do it though. I do it. If you decide you want to tempt me with sexual immorality, I won't talk to you. I will talk to myself. I'll give myself 10 consequences. You will die and go to hell. Your children will start smoking Igbo. Now that one they pay me, Pastor. I don't want any of my children to do drugs. And God says, if I find you committing adultery, they will. Okay, so God, let's just have arrangements. You understand? I won't twist your word for money. Before all of them will start telling lies. They will go to campus and join cults. Why? Because their father lies on the pulpit. I use those things. I'm not going to say, in the name of Jesus. Wait, Jesus, let's not deceive ourselves. Iniquity has consequences. So I sit down and I rehearse the consequences to myself. Thank you. If you take the word of God and twist it for money, God will disgrace you publicly. I say things so. I learned my mountain bar. Me, I decline them. There are things I just said. I said, the Lord, no. Don't punish me like this. No, don't kill me because if I do this, you can kill, but you know, you have to let my children grow up. Let everybody say that you can kill. It's fine, but. So don't just kill now. Just give me grace not to do things like this. I say, I reject it. You can't reject punishment. You can reject bad behavior. You cannot reject punishment. You can reject bad behavior. You can say, I won't do it in Jesus' name. Like I said last time, you know, they say a man of God did this. I don't say no. I'm bigger than that too. Let him that thinks text is standard. Let's use King James. That's when you want to say some things, you go and read down King James. Let him that thinketh he standeth. Let him take heed lest he falls. Is that lest I like? When you say, like, if you think you're standing, be careful so you don't fall. It sounds so modern. And those kinds of people, they fall. When you're speaking English, you know, you have to be careful. It's kind of slippery ground, you know, so you got to be. When we say lest, it's a warning. You hold your leg like this, lest you fall. Bow your head, say, Father God, let me not fall. Bow your head, say, Lord, no, I won't. In the name of Jesus Christ, let me not fall. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from doing evil. Say, dear Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from doing evil.